All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After each speaker has been introduced, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad to ask a question for that specific speaker. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. If you're experiencing difficulties in being able to ask a question, press star zero, and an operator will come back online to assist you. Thank you. Mr. Dunlap, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome to today's Southeastern Conference Texas A&M Media Teleconference. My name is Chuck Dunlap, Associate Director at the SEC, and I'll be the moderator of this call. Joining us today will be SEC Commissioner Mike Slive and Dr. Bowen Lofton, President of Texas A&M University. We'll have each in a few moments begin with some opening remarks and then proceed to take questions from the media. We ask that when called upon, you please let us know to whom you are addressing your question. To accommodate as many as possible, please ask no more than two questions when called upon. Should time warrant, you can ask more questions if called upon again. Also, remember to wait a couple of seconds after being called on to ask your question to ensure the beginning does not get cut off. This teleconference will also be replayed on the SEC's official website, scsports.com, later this afternoon. At this time, we'll begin with opening remarks from Texas A&M University President Dr. Bowen Lofton.
Howdy, as we say at Texas A&M. We're delighted to be part of the Aggie family today, or rather the SEC family today. We have gone through a great experience last night. Commissioner Slive, the chair of the SEC, Chancellor's President, Dr. Bernie Matchin, and many people from SEC staff joined us last night in College Station for what I consider to be a wedding celebration. It was quite an event. Hundreds were there. We had a lot of formal celebration, a lot of informal celebration as well. Had a great time. We're just delighted to be part of this new family. And we're pleased to see now Texas become SEC territory. Just a couple of points here before we get into the questioning part of the time here online, and that is our decision process in reaching this point. We certainly, back as early as late spring of 2010, began thinking about this because of the potential at that time for the Big 12 conference to dissolve based on the departure of several members of it to the Pac-10. So at that time, we began a very serious look at different conference options for Texas A&M University in addition to the possibility of going to the Pac-10 and did the homework required to understand where the best fit was. At that time, we even saw that early that the SEC was the best fit for Texas A&M athletically, academically, and certainly culturally as well. For the time being, the Big 12 last year hung together after the departure of Nebraska and Colorado. This year, again, we had additional issues arise that made the conference appear to best be very unstable, and so we resumed our discussions internally about conference alignment, which led to a July 21st telephone call from me to Commissioner Slive to initiate conversations, which culminated yesterday with our celebration. Our reasons for being in the SEC are manifold, but primarily relate to the national stage it provides for our student-athletes and for our university. We're so very pleased about the media markets available to the SEC and are now very happy to see Texas being a major part of that. We see the opportunity for growing in so many ways with our SEC friends and partners. We look for this to be something that will bring us what much-needed stability to our programs for many, many, many years to come. So I'll pause right there, Chuck, and let you defer to the commissioner.
I'm going to continue with SEC Commissioner Mike Slive with opening comments.
President Bowen, thank you very, very much for joining us on the call and for hosting us last night. And I am just delighted to reiterate to you, as I did to Aggieland yesterday, how pleased we are to have Texas A&M in the family. And I want to welcome you again this afternoon. It was a great event last night, and the passion and the excitement of your fans and everyone involved in A&M was so evident, and it certainly makes us very, very excited about our future together. As you indicated, Texas A&M is a great fit for the SEC academically, athletically, and culturally. When push came to shove, it was clear to our presidents and chancellors unanimously that once you applied and we worked through some issues, that we were delighted to have you as part of our family. As part of the process of welcoming Texas A&M into the conference, we have put together a transition team within our office to work on scheduling and all other aspects of integrating Texas A&M into the SEC. And we were able to introduce members of our transition team last night to members of Texas A&M transition team. And they will work together to, and we'll develop scheduling options for review along with all the other areas that require integration, such as television championships and other areas. And then our transition team will develop options for our athletic directors to consider. Obviously, we'll, time is of the essence, and we're working on this on a daily basis. So it's still early. Texas A&M has been part of the SEC now for, I think, it's about 3 days. And we'll let everyone know when we have something to report as we work to fully integrate the university into our family.
Proceed with questions from the media. If you have a question for either gentleman, please press star 1 now. And we will begin with David Barron of the Houston Chronicle.
For Mike, you mentioned last time that you had a look in your contract. Is that the CBS contract? And if so, when will that those discussions take place? And for Dr. Lofton, you mentioned last evening that Texas A&M wishes to continue a relationship with Texas athletically. Does it feel the same way about Texas Tech and Baylor?
David, it's Mike. I don't think I got the first part of your question. You're talking about our television contracts?
Yeah, you mentioned last time, I believe, that you have a look coming up. Is that the CBS contract, and when will those discussions start taking place?
Let me clarify that a little bit. As if almost every conference television contract has a couple of parts to it. One part is the what we call the conference composition component, where if there's a change in conference composition, we can sit down and talk about that. As it impacts the agreement. So we have that standard clause in our agreement. That's one piece. But we have something I think may be somewhat unique, and it's what and this is in the ESPN contract. It's called a look-in. And the look, when we entered into 15 years, it's a long time, so we knew that things change. So we put into the agreement the concept of a look-in, and that means that periodically, or when either side wants to, we can take time out, meet, and look into the agreement based on all the changes in the landscape and changes in technology to make sure, the bottom line is to make sure that both sides of the agreement get the basis of the bargain that they came to the table with at the outset. And so we will certainly be doing that with ESPN. As to CBS, we will have we are in the process of scheduling a negotiation with CBS sometime this fall, and obviously we will sit down and talk to them about the change in our league and how we believe that impacts the current relationship that we have in all of its aspects.
David Bowen, Lofton here. Couple of variants on the answer to you on your question. I've said many times that we certainly would welcome the ability to continue our rivalry with University of Texas at Austin. It's 117 years old, I believe, very much a fabric part of Texas A&M University and also of UT Austin, I believe. Having said that, if you want to look at football opportunities beyond that for non-conference play, that poses some real difficulties. I think it's very feasible to think in terms of every so many years looking at playing other traditional rivals within Texas, such as Texas Tech and Baylor. But it'd be very difficult to do that every year because of the limited number of non-conference games we'd have. Having said that, looking beyond football to other sports, there's many more opportunities there. We certainly have a fairly hot rivalry right now at Baylor in terms of women's basketball, and we anticipate being able to play them if they're willing to do so as well. So we certainly see opportunities for the full range of sports to be able to continue to play many of our traditional rivals here. But clearly, in the case of football, there are very limited numbers of opportunities for non-conference games. Unless we fall through pretty carefully before we make commitments beyond the one we've already made publicly.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Next is John Solomon of the Birmingham News.
Yeah, this is for Mike. Mike, you said yesterday you anticipate the SEC being a 13-team league next year. Are you definitively saying there will be 13, 12, 13, or is there still a door that's open for 14 if the right candidate comes along?
Yeah, I said it's exactly what I said last night, John, that we anticipate being a 13-team league in 2012-13. But let me add something to what I said last night. First, there are no institutions currently under consideration by the SEC's presidents and chancellors. And secondly, we have not received any applications from any institution other than Texas A&M.
A follow-up, when is the point that the SEC absolutely must know how many members you're going to have next year?
I don't know if there's a particular point, John. Obviously, as I said to you, when Texas A&M applied to our league, you know, let me go back and reiterate a couple of things. One is that we were not looking to expand. And that, and as I said last year, we have been strategic and thoughtful when thinking about expansion. You know, when A&M expressed an interest in coming to the SEC, we realized that Texas A&M, by any measure, is a great fit for the conference, and it makes sense to us. And it was an opportunity and a final analysis that our presidents and chancellors decided that this was a very important long-term decision for the Southeastern Conference as we think ahead over the next several decades. And we understood when we agreed to take Texas A&M that that was 13. We also understood that you know, this made some issues. Scheduling is not easy, and with 13, we knew that, and we are going to continue to be strategic and thoughtful when we think about any further expansion. And so, you know, I guess as I said yesterday, you know, we anticipate being a 13-team league in 2012.
Next question comes from Mike Herndon of the Press Register.
Hey, this is for Commissioner Slive. I was wondering if there was any way to quantify what an economic impact would be for the SEC on bringing Texas A&M into the league, be it television contract or other.
Well, Mike, I don't think I can sit here today and tell you that we're able to quantify that. The focus of the discussions of our presidents and chancellors, as you would expect, had really to do with the quality of Texas A&M. They're an AAU institution. They have 50,000 students. They've got one of the largest endowments in the country. They, in terms of sports, you know, they are nationally competitive as we are, and they have a huge fan base that are just as passionate as the fans in our league. And we thought about them in those terms, you know, to say that we don't know what state they're located in, we know it would be somewhat naive. But it really was about the quality of this institution. And over time, you know, as we integrate Texas A&M into our league and as we move ahead in the future, I'm sure that there will be some, you know, added value. But for me to be able to quantify it is really not possible at this point.
A quick follow-up also. You mentioned scheduling a renegotiation with CBS. With those look-ins with the ESPN contract, is that something that will be looked at this year as well? And also, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, will Texas A&M just go in as a member of the SEC West and there be seven teams in that?
Yeah, Lee, let me get the first part. We will be, quote, looking in, end quote, this calendar year and throughout next year. You know, we've got this. I mentioned to you that we had this transition team in place in our AD, so I'm not, you know, obviously it makes sense to me that Texas A&M be in the West, but I don't want to get ahead of our transition team. I don't want to get ahead of our ADs. So we're going to let them work through all these issues, Mike.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is John Zener of the Associated Press.
Yeah, hi, this is for the commissioner as well. I'm wondering how many teams, how many schools, I know there were discussions just to get maybe you can characterize the discussions, but other teams, 4th or 14th team, how many teams were, programs were considered? And what was the general consensus? Was there anything that stood out that y'all were looking for?
John, this is really about, I can't emphasize enough that this has really been all about Texas A&M. Texas A&M came to us. We have not initiated any conversations with any institution. And this was about Texas A&M understanding the, you know, some of the complexities that 13 brings. And that's really it.
Next, we have Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I had a couple questions. I wanted to ask first, Dr. Loftin, both of Mike Sherman and Bob Petrino have sort of deferred to higher-ups about whether or not to keep the Arkansas A&M game in Dallas or move it to campuses. You're obviously a higher-up. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think if you heard Bill Byrne last night, my AD, Bill was pretty clear at saying we value the ability to play in that particular market. It assists us recruiting, assists Arkansas as well. But clearly, this is not a decision we would make by ourselves. It's one we have to talk about with our colleagues at Arkansas very, very, very closely and very carefully to see what really makes sense there for both of us anyway. Again, I think both of us value the location because the recruiting potential it brings to both in that large market there. But again, we make this decision ultimately as a part of the SEC along with Arkansas and the commissioner's team.
Okay. Yeah, and Mike, I know you said you're not sure about, you know, how the realignment will come, but assuming A&M was in the West, could you envision everybody in the West just playing one less East team? That seems like an easier way to do it. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Bob, you're way ahead of everybody. Our transition team, remembering that Texas A&M has been in our league for 3 days. Our transition team is working on these issues about in terms of scheduling. You know, we understand it's not easy. We understand it's particularly difficult in football. The transition team is hard at work on it, and we'll be convening our ADs in the next several weeks, and they'll begin to review the different options that we can put together. And I really just don't want to get out in front of all of that at this point.
Thanks, Bob.
Next, we have Tom Timmerman of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Oh, hi, this is for Mike. You're happy with 13? 13, he says, works for you. What at this point would it take to make 14 appealing? What would change that isn't there now?
Well, at this point, we have been very, very careful and strategic and thoughtful about thinking about expansion. The question would be ultimately, we wanted to get Texas A&M into our league and get that completed and begin to work on integrating them. And, we're a league that has had some success, and we value the kinds of institutions we have in this league, and so we'll just see how the future plays out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, with Ron Higgins of the Memphis Commercial Appeal.
This is for President Hoffman and Mike. Can you talk about, as this thing heated up over the last month, emotionally it's been like for both of y'all?
Well, I'll let President Bowen go first.
Emotionally, that's a good question, I guess. Clearly, we went through over last year and also over several months recently a lot of careful soul-searching about our future Texas A&M vis-a-vis the Big 12 and other official conference affiliations. We felt, again, after a really good look at this, the SEC stood out clearly as the very best fit for Texas A&M. The emotional part came about, I think, because we had to work through some issues that were pretty much in the media play, as you've already been aware of. It wasn't straightforward and easy like applying one day and getting into the next. And we certainly worked through that, Mike and I together.
with their folks on both sides. And I must say this about my colleague Mike Sly. We bonded well over the last several weeks, my friend.
Ron, maybe the best way to describe it is as soon as you folks let me off this call, I'm going to go home and sit on my porch and do what I'd like to do best and relax because, you know, it's been, you know, it's been a complex and intense a couple months. So, but the, you know, there's also this enormous feeling of satisfaction that the Southeastern Conference has added really one of the preeminent institutions in the country to the family.
Next is Talala Mosri of the Gainesville Sun.
Hey, this is for Dr. Lofton. Texas A&M's football program has certainly improved in recent years, and last year's game with Arkansas was decided by only a touchdown. Do you feel like this coming week is an early chance maybe for the Aggies to prove something to Arkansas and the rest of the SEC?
Well, I mean, every week you prove yourself, sir. that's the clarity of a football game. We have had, of course, a very long relationship with Arkansas going way back when we were both part of the Health Service Conference. So this is not a new issue for us. We see this, though, as a way in which we will initiate now this year our true belonging in the SEC by playing an early conference game, a very early conference game for us right now. And looking forward to it. It's going to be a great game. We're both highly ranked teams. A lot of passion out there, and we're really playing in a great venue.
Yeah, can you talk more about playing in Cowboys Stadium? And obviously, Arkansas has many players on their roster from Texas. Just talk about the atmosphere of Cowboys Stadium.
Well, just give you a couple of pointers here. I worry about the freshmen and the sophomores. They tend to gawk at the screen rather than looking at the field itself. But you got to understand, we have about 55,000 former students living in the DFW area, and Arkansas has many as well. So it's a very, very good place to be because we have so many of our fans right there, as is Arkansas. So the place will be packed. It'll be a great game, televised, of course, nationally. And we're going to have, again, a lot of fun out there.
Thank you very much.
Chip Howard of WKZN Radio in College Station.
Yeah, I've got a question for Commissioner Sly. Commissioner, would you elaborate on how the league handles third-tier rights?
When we put together our television packages, we made a the conference has the rights to all, well, let's talk football. It'll be a little easier first. In football, all of our games belong to the conference package, and except that we provide one pay-per-view opportunity for each of our institutions on an annual basis. Our current package involves not CBS. The ESPN platforms, which, you know, ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPNU, and then we have over the air an SEC network game that is now in 73 or more million homes. It's the ESPN's third most widely distributed platform on a Saturday. And then in addition, we have two cable packages, one with Comcast and one with Fox. And then also all of our games except the occasional pay-per-view go into that. In basketball, in men's basketball, all conference games are televised through the conference. And then many non-conference games and the games that are not then televised are available for our institutions in their local packages. We did allow our institutions to retain local packages with the exceptions that I've just outlined to you because it's been a long-standing tradition here and our schools have been able to monetize their local packages at a very considerable level. And that was, at that time, one of the reasons why we elected to forego the concept of a channel in light of the ability to become, you know, nationally distributed at the level that we are, plus the ability to preserve local rights to our member institutions.
Except for the pay-per-view, then the all the other revenue is equally distributed, correct?
Well, it's a different. You're now asking a very different question. You know, you asked about third-tier rights, and I just explained to you how they work. The SEC distributes its revenue from our conference package equally. We have some very minor appearance fees, but they really don't amount to much. For the most part, all of our institutions get the same amount of money from our package.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Next is Seth Emerson with the Macon Telegraph.
This is for Mike. Just wondering about this. Just wondering about this transition team. How many people are from Texas A&M? How many are from the SEC or schools? What are they going to consider? The framework of what they have to consider.
We have a point person, and then we have three of our senior associates at the executive level, and then we have a whole raft of our people. And I think on the we'll have to let President Lofton respond to the A&M piece. But last night we were able to put together, for example, the point person in our. I won't identify him, so he won't have to listen to all the phone calls. But we put him together with the folks at Texas A&M to begin some very preliminary conversations that we'll ratchet up in the next several days and next week.
This is Bowen Lofton, just jumping in a moment here. My AD has appointed one of his senior associates to oversee our engagement with the SEC on this particular issue, and he has a number of people working. I can't give the number exactly, but it's going to be probably, given the number of sports involved here, well over a dozen people.
Next is Jim Mashick of jimmashick.com.
President Lofton, I was curious. We are dealing a lot with the realities of this addition to the SEC and A&M's inclusion and the short term. But our job being what it is and the fans' fascination with what's happened over the last few months and in the last few days particularly, where do you see A&M as a cultural fit with the SEC? Specifically, as far away as Gainesville or Columbia, Knoxville, and the logistical concerns that may exist for some of your fans, certainly not all.
I understand. Of course, it was a long way to Nebraska, too, sir, and to Colorado.
right.
And Iowa State can't be on that close either. So we're not necessarily foreign to having to travel a ways to get to a game. But culturally, to go back to what we said earlier, both Fisher and I, we're a great fit. Eight of the schools in the SEC are land grants like us. We have extraordinary degrees of integration already in terms of research and education, agriculture, engineering, areas like that that are quite part of the fabric of institutions of the SEC and Texas A&M both. So we're not strangers to each other by any means. I know a number of the presidents of the SEC personally. We work together, especially in Florida and Vanderbilt, because we're part of the AAU. Jimmy Cheek of the Tennessee is an Aggie himself. But we have lots of things there. If you go to one of our games, you go to one of their games in the SEC, what do you find? The spirit is out there. It's an extraordinary experience wherever you go. You may recall that Sports Illustrated ranks Kyle Field at Texas A&M as the best game day experience in the country right now. We're just right up there, though, with the other SEC schools in that regard. So our fans will travel. They're very used to it. I-10 runs to the east. Don't worry about that.
Right.
We'll get up there.
Mike, along the same lines, again, knowing that the speculation will just be ratcheted up now as opposed to leveling off, how does the SEC office deal with what could be a situation that could change depending on what happens everywhere else and within your league as well?
Well, I think we try to do it the way we've always done it, Jim. We excuse me. You know, we've—I hate to keep using these words, but I've been using them now for a year and a half.
All right.
You know, we try to be thoughtful and strategic. You know, we really don't. You know, other than phone calls like this, you know, we aren't. We don't say a whole lot. We try to do our work. We try to do what we think is best for the league. I know there will be enormous speculation. There'll be speculation about how we're going to schedule. There'll be speculation on whether or not we're going to go to 14. And if we're going to go to 14, who's that going to be? How's that going to happen? When's it going to happen? And that's, and I understand that, and they're all appropriate questions. But, you know, we will deal with those carefully on a timetable that works for us. We have operated here with integrity. You know, we responded to an inquiry from Texas A&M. And I think, you know, there will be a lot of swirling around us. But in the meantime, we'll try to keep our head about us and continue to develop this league in a thoughtful way that ensures our success in the generations and generations to come. Taking Texas A&M, notwithstanding some of the difficult short-term issues, is an investment in the long-term strength and success of the Southeastern Conference long after I'm gone.
Thanks to both of you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, Dennis.
Did they call me? I didn't hear.
Dennis, they called you. How
I did
you?
Not hear. Bad phone operating. I'm sorry.
How you doing?
Good. I got on late. I know you've been asked this question, so I'm just going to ask it again. What was your response to those two outlets saying there's been an informal offer made to Missouri?
Well, Dennis, you know me well enough to know that I don't discuss institutions. So let me reiterate what I said last
night,
Dennis. Now, you missed this.
Right.
And I'll be happy to do it for you. You know, I said last night that we had a great celebration in College Station, and I was asked a similar question. And I said that we anticipate being a 13-team league
mm-hmm.
in 2012-13. And I wanted to add a couple other thoughts for you. One is there are no institutions currently under consideration by the SEC's presidents and chancellors. And we have not received any applications from any institution other than Texas A&M.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan.
All right. Okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Next is Edward Ashoff of ESPN.com.
Hey, this is President Laughlin. Obviously, Texas is a great recruiting breeding ground, but to be able to stretch into the Southeast even more, I mean, how much does that benefit not just football but your entire athletic department?
I heard your question, Ryan, about the recruiting benefits.
Yes.
There are 4,000 high schools in Texas, roughly. That's a lot of kids. They play football. They want to go to the NFL, and they know where the most NFL players come from each year. They want to play baseball. They know the legend of the SEC. You may recall this past season, we were knocked out early in the College World Series by, the eventual winner of the series, South Carolina. So there's a lot of people looking east all the time to see the great teams, great competitions, great rivalries within the SEC. And so I think given the 4,000 high schools full of very talented young people here in Texas, we're going to have even better recruiting than ever before from Texas A&M. And I think it's going to stand us in good stead with our colleagues in the SEC.
And how much does it help you guys to be able to dip into the Southeast, though, dip into Georgia, Florida, those kind of states?
Well, we'll probably do that if people reach out to us. I don't see us going out and beating the bushes a lot there. I mean, my coaches would be the ones to make that decision with the AD's support. I don't get into that kind of detail, obviously. But, I mean, there's 4,000 high schools in Texas, guys. You don't have to go very far to find good talent around here. Quite clearly, markets like Georgia and Mississippi are great places, but they're much smaller. And when you're trying to maximize your recruiting efforts here, you go where you have the most bodies. And so certainly we'll be open, I'm sure, selectively recruiting anywhere in the country for that matter. But when it comes down to it, we have a great place in Texas to go to.
Thank you.
This is David Pascal, the Chattanooga Times Free Press.
Hey, this is for Commissioner Sly, because Dr. Lofton obviously addressed the fact that Texas A&M has done its share of traveling to league games, but you've got an entire league now that I guess LSU is the only school within 500 miles of Texas A&M. How concerned are you? I know a couple of coaches came out last week on the teleconference expressing their concerns about fans traveling, you know, during these economic times. How concerned are you about some of these fan bases being able to make trips like this?
Well, those are the kind of questions that our league and our office had to consider at the front end. Obviously, we hope our fans will travel, but the decision to take Texas A&M factored all elements of the relationship into consideration. And you can just assume that we reviewed that, we understand those issues, but on balance, we felt that the addition of Texas A&M with whatever issues relate to that was worth doing, and obviously still feel that way. As rivalries develop, we hope that their fans will travel to our games and that our fans will travel to their games.
And as just a quick follow, are you pretty confident that the current existing rivalries that have existed, you know, some for 100 years, do you feel that most every one of those can be protected even with just the addition of one team?
If you weren't on the call a little earlier, I'll just tell you that I really don't want to preempt the work of the transition team. There are people on the transition team that have spent their lives scheduling games and who are as good as anybody in the country. And we're going to let them do their work and then present some of their thinking to our athletic directors. And then at some point in time, we'll have some answers that we'll be able to share with you.
A follow-up from David Barron of the Houston Chronicle.
For Dr. Lofton, is A&M rethinking its third-tier rights from a strictly digital platform in the wake of the move to the SEC? Or is it still inclined to move along in those areas? Have you had any conversation with Judge Starr at Baylor that eases your mind about the potential for any sort of litigation arising from this move, keeping in mind that there is, I guess, a statute of limitations that runs for a couple of years?
Certainly. I mean, I could probably respond to both of these. We, some months ago, engaged a talented consultant to help Texas A&M look forward to its future in terms of better utilizing its third-tier rights. So that's in play right now. So I have no answers for you yet. But clearly, we are very actively right now working with our consultant and our internal team to do the very best we can to make certain that we provide the best access we can to the rights we retain at Texas A&M for our fan base, exposing our athletes to every bit of the public that we can, and to secure the best revenues from that. So that's ongoing right now, and I think over the next 6 months to a year, we'll be talking much more publicly about our plans in this particular area. I have not spoken to Judge Starr specifically. I engaged Thursday of last week in a teleconference meeting of the Big 12 directors. I'm still a member of that group. And there was, I think, a fairly good amity among the group that day. Clearly, based on the decision of Oklahoma, there was a sense of stability in the conference going forward. It was accepted at that point, clearly, by the conversation I heard, that A&M was no longer going to continue with as a member of the Big 12. Even prior to the announcement made by the SEC more recently, and we had no, and I had no indications personally from anyone there during that conference call that there was going to be any animosity directed at A&M, since there was a clarity among all the members I think there that the Big 12 was going to be stable and continue, and probably that their expansion committee was reactivated that day, and so I think that gives you a sense that if there's no harm done to members of the Big 12 that remain, there's really no basis for litigation.
Thank you, sir.
This is Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Yeah, this is a question for Mike. Mike, with adding the Aggies, do you feel like you guys maybe could add another bowl game to your tie-ins?
It's a good question, Bob. You know, we have nine now, and we sent two up, you know, so, but that is something we will look at. We will look at it, you know, we have to take a look at the historical data to see how that plays out in terms of how many bowl eligible teams we've had over the last 5 or 10 years to see what that would look like. But, again, I would send that back to the transition team. That definitely is one of the kinds of issues that we're looking at.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll conclude today's call with a final question from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports.
Actually, two, if I could ask him. Mike, I know you've thought about this kind of thing because I know how you are. Have you thought about a first SEC game featuring A&M against an opponent in some sort of special time slot or day? Or
You're right. I have thought about that, and in my non-scheduling mind, I could conjure up a heck of an event. But actually, the president and I have talked about that in the past as we've tried to bring this to culmination, Dennis. And I've asked the transition team to take a look at that to see if there's something we could work out.
Oh, good. Okay.
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's good. Also, given where you are now, is there any thought to proposing rescinding the two-team limit in the BCS?
No call would be complete, Dennis, right?
I had to ask.
Yeah, I know. I do know this, that Phil Hancock has put together a list of issues that he believes the commissioners and then the BCS Bowl Oversight Committee ought to be looking at as the BCS develops this position on upcoming negotiations, and I think that's one of them.
Okay, that's going forward after that.
I think you got to talk to Bill. I don't want to put myself in Bill's head here.
But obviously, that would be one of them going forward after their current contract.
I think there are going to be several issues that are important enough to have serious discussion about, and that'll be one of them.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That will conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation.